about the Smith family, and Mrs. Smith had a whole household getting ready to come to her home, and she'd been cooking and preparing and cooking and preparing, and everybody finally got there, and everybody sitting around the table holding hands, getting ready to say grace, and she looked at their little daughter and said, "Sweetie, would you please say grace this morning?" The little girl said, "I'm not going to do it. I can't." She says, "No, sweetie, go ahead." And she says, "Mama, I don't know what to say." And Mama looked at her and said, "Sweetie, just say what I say, and then we can eat." Little girl looked around, lip a trembling, bowed her head and said, "Dear Lord, why did I invite all these people to come to lunch today?" I hope that doesn't happen to you on Thursday. Amen. Colossians chapter number 2, abounding with thanksgiving. Inside of your bulletin is an outline if you want to fill it out. If you don't, that's fine. You can draw pretty little pictures. I find them oftentimes in the pews. People, some of you are really good artists. There's a bulletin there, and it's got the outline for you. That doesn't mean I'm actually going to fill it all out, but I'll do my best for you this morning. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 1. Paul is writing. He's writing this from prison. And he says this to the believers. He says, "For I would that you know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." See, he had not gotten to Colossae yet. He hadn't been there yet to teach them and to show them. They had gotten saved during the persecution. They wouldn't establish a church in Colossae. And he said, "Listen, I so desperately want to see you, but I've not got to see you yet." Verse number 2, he says, "Here's my prayer, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." See, I key, and I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that it's vital and it's important that you use your Bible. It's vital and important that you read along with whoever's preaching, whenever they're preaching, wherever you are, if you're listening on the radio, if you're listening, wherever you're doing, listen and read with the Bible open. Because people can take words and they can twist them around and they can make them say what they want to say. And Paul's saying, "My prayer for you is that you won't be beguiled with enticing words. They may look good and they may sound good and they may have the full set of teeth and they may have the most expensive suit and they may have a gigantic building filled with people. But if they're not preaching the truth of God's word, it's not worth listening to." And so Paul says, "My desire is that you won't be enticed with beguiling words." Verse number 5. "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. Even though I'm not there, my heart is with you," he says, "joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." See, there is that's the important aspect right there. Your faith in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we write down and we say and we testify what we're thankful for. The roof over our head and the food we're going to eat and the cars that we drive and the clothes that we're wearing. And we're thankful for our family. We're thankful for friends. We're thankful for people that influence us. But guess what? Without Jesus Christ as your Savior, none of those things mean anything. Because here's the truth of the matter. If you die and go to hell and you got all those things, they mean nothing whatsoever. But if you go to heaven, that's just icing on the cake, all the things that God has blessed you with here on earth. Your steadfastness of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 6 and 7 are our focus verses right here. He says this, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Let us pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that what we have just read is exactly what you want us to hear. I pray, God, that these next few moments that we have together would not be a time of just checking a block and saying that we've been to church, but instead we would suck up what you have given to us, that we would absorb it, and then, Father, we would take it and apply it to our lives and use it every single day. God, I don't know the circumstances in this room. I don't know everybody's situation. But I do know, God, there's people hurting here today. I do know, God, that there's people who are confused here today. I do know, God, that there's people here who don't even know Jesus Christ their Savior. I do know, God, that there's people that need encouragement today. And I'm asking you, Father, that if we look at your word, that you would speak to us and fill us and make us what you ought to be. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Abounding in thanksgiving. Number one. Why should we abound in thanksgiving? Number one, because we have Christ as our Savior. We have Christ as our Savior. It says in verse number 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? I mean, honestly, have you? Well, Brother Brian, I've been going to church since I was a little kid. Brother Brian, I signed a card one day. Brother Brian, I prayed a little prayer one day. So yes, I'm saved. Brother Brian, my grandparents went to church, this and this, and you can offer all these excuses. Brother Brian, I even got baptized. Well, good. Those are wonderful things. But have you personally placed your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Have you received forgiveness for your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ? If you haven't, the most important thing you can do is doing that today. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can have all the riches of the world, but if you don't have salvation, it means nothing. Jesus Christ is your Savior. So the number one thing we ought to be abounding is forgiveness. We have Jesus as our Savior. See, I don't have to pay for my sins any longer. How many of you are glad that you don't have to pay for all the wickedness in your life? Woo! I mean, I even just began this week just to think back to my past. I mean, just to imagine. And I'm thinking, gosh, I'm glad I don't have to stand before God and give an account for that anymore. I'm glad that I don't have to explain to God why I did this and why I did that. I'm glad He's not going to point His finger at me and say, oh, you remember going into your mama's purse and stealing that money? Yes, I did steal money from my mama's purse. I got busted, though. But I'm glad that when I get to heaven, God's not going to ask me about that. I'm glad that when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to explain all those things to Him. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Brian. I thought we were all going to be judged. We are. But what God sees right now is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be judged before my salvation. He's not going to stand to me and say, listen, depart from me, for I never knew you. He's going to say, welcome on in, my child. You've received my Son as your Savior. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful that I'm not going to ever pay for any sin that I ever committed. Are you? How many are thankful for that? Abounding with thanksgiving. That's enough right there to be thankful for. That I'm not going to hell. Whew. Praise God for that. All right, look at the second thing to be thankful for, abounding with thanksgiving. Second thing, because we have the privilege of walking with Him. Look what it says in verse number 6. So walk ye in Him. We have the privilege of walking with Jesus Christ. We have the privilege of every single moment of every single day having an active communication with the Creator of the universe. For the one who knows you intimately, we get to hold His hand and we get to talk to Him. We get to listen to Him. We get to follow His ways. What a privilege that is. Now, wait a minute. Think about it for a minute. You think of your favorite sports figure right now. You think maybe of your favorite coach, or maybe a congressman or a senator or some kind of famous person right now that you would like to meet and spend time with. One of my favorite ones growing up was a fellow named Gabe Nava. Gabe Nava was a basketball player for the University of New Mexico Lobos. Who? In Albuquerque, where I grew up, there's a college, University of New Mexico. And I used to listen to their basketball games on the radio with my father. And we would sit there and listen to it. And I can imagine in my mind the going back and forth and everything else. And I remember loving that name, Gabe Nava. Gabe Nava for 2 points. And that was just before the three-point line, okay? And he'd shoot him and met him lights out. And people were screaming and hollering. One day, the Lobos were coming back in from a road trip. And this is way back before you had to have security and go through all these checkpoints or anything else. You could actually meet the person when they got off the gate. And so my dad knew that I was thrilled about Gabe Nava. And as soon as the plane docked and they got out and they started walking across the tarmac and opening the doors, there he stood and there I was as a 4-year-old, 5-year-old little boy. And I saw him and he looked like he was 10 foot tall. And all these people were crowded around and yelling the players' names and everything else. And I said, Gabe, Gabe. And he came over and he kneeled down and he shook my hand. And I got to hold Gabe Nava's hand. Man, I didn't wash that thing for the rest of the day. It's time for dinner. You got to wash. I washed my left hand, not my right hand. I got to hold his hand. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? He was my hero. Brothers and sisters, when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get to hold the hand of the Creator every single moment of every single day. Wow! That'll make a backslidden Episcopalian say amen. You get to walk with Jesus. When you wake up in the morning, the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart. At least I hope He is. And He's whispering to you, I love you, my child. You get to open up His precious Word. And you get to see His love letter to you that tells you how to live each and every day. You get to see how He forgave you for all your sins. You get to see how He wants you to walk with Him on a daily basis. You get to see how you can live to be the type of wife or husband or father or mother or brother or sister or whatever the case may be. You get to see it right here. And the Creator of the universe says, let me show you how to do it. The only thing better in meeting Gabe Nava was been if he had taken a basketball and shown me how to shoot it. He never did. But could you imagine? I could have gone back to school. I could have gotten with all my friends and said, guess what? Gabe Nava showed me how to shoot the ball. They'd have said, who? The Creator of the universe wants to show you how to live. Do you want that this morning? I mean, do you really want God to show you how to walk with Him? I get to talk to Him every single day. Hallelujah. Amen? So the second reason for being thankful is we get to walk with the Creator of the universe. Number three, the third reason. Because we are rooted and built up in Him. Go to Matthew chapter number 7 with me real quick. Matthew chapter number 7. We are rooted and we are built up in Him. Matthew chapter number 7. How many of y'all like those stubborn weeds that grow up and you just pull the top off? How many of you like those things? Frustrating, aren't they? You see them sitting there, I'm going to pull that weed out, and you pull the whole top off and the bottom stays there. And then you got to dig down and you got to try to get the root out of that thing. And then what happens is it's attached to other roots. And pretty soon you're pulling one weed, your whole garden comes up with it. That thing is rooted in the ground. Guess what? Our salvation is rooted in Jesus Christ. Better than any stubborn old weed. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 41. Look what it says with me. Not 41, 24. Verse 24. 41? Are you reading a different Bible? Verse number 24 of Matthew chapter number 7. Here's what it says. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, Jesus said, if you hear what I'm telling you and you do it, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of me and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Why did that house fall? Because it was not built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be very blunt with you this morning. If you've not built your marriage this morning, if you've not built your relationship with your children, if you've not built your relationship with your family on the Lord Jesus Christ, your relationship's going to fail. If you're not living and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything you do is not rooted in Him, it's destined for failure. When we start doing things according to what we want to do, and we start living according to our own precepts, and we start living according to our own lust and our own understandings, you are destined to fail. It's not going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. It may not. It may happen 10 years from now. But if you don't root your life in the teachings found in the Word of God, you are going to fail. That's what it says. He says, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Let me ask you a question. Who is your life built upon this morning? Is your life built upon your bank account? Is your life built upon your finances and your relationship with other people? Is your life built upon your job? Is your life built upon your hobbies and your habits? Is your life built upon the unthings, the ungodly things of this world? If it is, it's going to fall one day. I'm not a perfect man. My wife, she's not. Are you in here, Melissa? That she'd be saying amen right now to that. I'm not a perfect man. But every day, I want to live with my life rooted in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that it is. I'm thankful that it is. All right, so number one, because we have Christ as our Savior, we can be thankful. Number two, because we have the privilege of walking with Him. Number three, because we are rooted and built up in Him. Look at number four, because we are well-founded. Our faith is well-founded. Go to 2 Thessalonians with me, if you would. 2 Thessalonians, because our faith is well-founded. Now, well-founded, what does that mean? That means it's a sure foundation. It's a sure foundation. How many of you ever remember, and they still exist a little bit, but how many of you remember pyramid schemes? How many of y'all remember those? What's a pyramid scheme? Here it is. One person gets a brilliant idea that say, okay, I'm going to go to this person here, and I'm going to tell them if they give me such and such money, I guarantee that I'm going to get them a good return on the money that they invest with me. And then they go to somebody else and they tell them the same thing. And they say, listen, if you'll give me your money and invest it with my company, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you 25% return on your investment. And then he does that with several different people. And then after a month, when their returns are due and the money's supposed to go to them, what he simply does is take the money he got from one person and give it to the other. And he keeps a shell game going. And somebody's sitting there at their house and their retirement fund is based upon all their money given to this particular person. And then that particular person runs out of money that he's taken from other people. A pyramid scheme. And so one day your retirement fund, it may be having $500,000 in your retirement fund. And then the next day, it's gone. And then you're sitting there and you're penniless thinking, what am I going to do? Because your faith in retirement was based upon a human being's Ponzi scheme or pyramid scheme. And then you're looking back saying, what am I going to do? Brothers and sisters, if your salvation is based upon something you might have said back when you were 6 years old, or maybe something you read one time, or your faith is not based upon a rooted foundation. Because look what it says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Look what it says here. Verse number 16. Now the Lord of peace. I'm sorry, no, that's chapter 3. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. He says, he will comfort you and establish you in every good word and work. What is your faith established in? I remember a few years ago the crash that happened, and a lot of people's retirement funds went this. How many of you got affected by that crash a while back? It was rough. Ah, man, it was rough. And back in the 1920s when we had the Great Recession, Brother Danny Childers, you remember that time, don't you? People were jumping out of buildings. People were living or losing their lives and their families and everything else because of the fact that their retirement, their life was based upon a financial thing that failed. May I tell you this morning? I'm glad that my salvation is not based upon a banking scheme. That my salvation is based upon the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's something to be thankful for this morning. When you've lost everything, you'll never lose Him. Number 5. So number 1, we have Christ as our Savior, the reason to be thankful for. Number 2, we have the privilege of walking with Him. Number 3, we have been rooted and built up in Him. Number 4, we are well-founded. Our faith is well-founded. And number 5, because we've been taught in Him. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4 talks about this. Because we have been taught in Him. I'm getting all hot and sweaty. This thing slips off my ear. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11. Paul writes and he says, And he gave, speaking of God, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And why did he give those to the church? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Jesus Christ. Until we all come in unity in the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every word of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but instead speaking the truth in love, that you may grow into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Brothers and sisters, God has given the body of Christ teachers and apostles and men and women of God who love you, who are trying to teach you this word. I so badly want you to understand what this says, because guess what? There's a lot of false teachers out there. There's a lot of garbage being taught to everybody in all kinds of situations and places. And what's happening is we're being turned and we're blown around with all kinds of words of doctrine. And it really doesn't matter what this says in some people's minds, as long as they feel good. It don't really matter what this says. You listen to what the preacher says. It don't matter if it disagrees with that. As long as the preacher says it's okay, then it's okay. Wrong! No! If I'm ever wrong and I ever disagree with this, then I am wrong. This is always right. But look at me. Some of you, and I at times, we have a bad habit of saying, well, I know the Bible says this, but I want to do this. you've not been taught that. Not as long as I've been here. I've never told you to go with your feelings. I've never told you to go with what you want to do. I'll always teach you, go with what this says. You see, Brother Brian, how do I know what that says? How do I know what you're telling me is right? Because you've got it open in front of you, hopefully. Well, I just want you to preach, Brother Brian, and then I'll go, no! Because I'm a man and I make errors. How many of you have ever heard me say something silly and didn't make any sense up here? I'm the only one. Okay, well, good. Whew. I've gotten away with it. No. This is the final authority. And I thank God that He's given this to me in the English language. I thank God that He's given men and women in my life that taught this to me. I thank God that He's given me the ability to teach it. But brothers and sisters, it does you no good if you don't open it and read it. It does you no good if you don't heed it and apply it to your personal life. How many of y'all remember mercurochrome, or better known as monkey blood? How many of you remember that? Monkey blood. It was this orange tincture that whenever you got a cut on your leg and you come in squalling to your mama, that she would get this bottle, a brown bottle about that big, and she'd have a little brush on it, and she'd brush that all over. It looked like monkey blood is what they called it. I remember one day I crashed my bike. And now where I was growing up, it was dirt roads. There was no pavement nor anything else. And I was Evel Knievel. How many of y'all remember Evel Knievel? I set up this ramp, not quite a 65-degree angle, maybe a 50-degree angle. And I got on that bike with the long banana seat and them high home handlebars like this. Y'all know what I'm talking. Y'all remember those things. And I got a good momentum going, and I thought in my mind, I'm going to jump like Evel Knievel. And I went up. Man, I flew about 4 feet. But what happened was my front end went down. My back end stayed up. Boom! Flying like a bird. No helmet whatsoever. Right here is a scar. I went into the gravel. And I got up and blood was pouring. Because that's a bad spot to get cut right there. Blood just pouring out of my chin. And I went running in, Mom! You know what she reached for? Mercurochrome. That stuff burnt. It burnt. And I knew, because I'd had a whole bunch of other scrapes already, I knew what I was waiting for. And she said, here you go. And I said, uh-uh. I was hurting. I said, you're not putting that on me. It hurts. And she stood there and said, okay, you can continue to. Because something, when you put that on, it cauterized everything. She said, you can continue to stand there and bleed, or I can put this on you and I can take care of the bleeding. And I stood there and blood's coming down, and blood's hurting, and blood's coming down and hurting. And I thought, you know what? I'm tired of this. She took that and slathered it all over my chin. Didn't take me to the doctor. That's why I got the scar. Butterfly strips and mercurochrome. Now you say, what's that got to do with anything? See, the mercurochrome was available. The person to apply it was available. But it did me no good until I actually let it be put on and do the job. The person's available to give you this. No, the person's available to give you this. It's available for you. But until you actually open it and apply it, it means nothing. And I'm not talking about monkey blood. I'm talking about the precious blood. Amen. Abounding with thanksgiving.
abounding with thanksgiving. Number one, we have Christ as our Savior. We have the privilege of walking with Him.
We have rooted and built up in Him. Our faith is well-founded, and because we have been taught in Him. Hey, what? I love y'all. I appreciate your patience and sitting there thinking and praying and listening to me. But you know what? God loves you. He's not done with you yet. Now, please look at me and we're done. I'm going to pray.
Please look at me. Some of you are going through some hard times right now. You're going through the valley of the shadow of death right now. And you're hurting. And you wonder, is it ever going to end? May I tell you this? God loves you. He knows what's going on. And He simply says, my child, just trust me and do what my word says. I'm glad that He never leaves us or forsakes us. Have you ever been abandoned by a human being before? Rejected? God will never abandon you. He'll never reject you. For that, I'm thankful for. And all God's people said,
amen.
And those in the balcony. Come on, balcony. There we go. Let's all stand together. Head bowed, eyes closed this morning. Balcony, y'all got to help me out better next time. Head bowed, eyes closed. Let me ask you a question. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes just for a second. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have something to be thankful for? Just raise your hand. Praise God for that. Why don't you tell God thank you for what you had to be thankful for? Miss Shirley's going to begin to play in just a moment where the Dan's going to be saying, why don't you just have a time of thanksgiving to God? Maybe one of these five things I shared with you, maybe something else. Maybe you want to come to the altar. Maybe as a family, as an individual. You just want to come to the altar and say, God, thank you for what you've given me. Maybe you want to sit, make an altar. But brothers and sisters, we have so much to be thankful for. But the most important thing is the blood of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. Lord, you know the needs in here this morning. There's some people going through some deep waters right now. They're hurting. I'm praying, God, that you would bring them comfort and peace. I shared your word with them. But God, they have to apply it now. May we obey what your word says. Lord, there's some precious folks here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ their Savior. They've never had the blood applied. May today be that day where they come and place their faith in you for salvation. Whatever the need is, may we obey you tonight and today. In Christ's name I pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Won't you come on up right now? Just come up.